this recording is about threats. Just a little bit of background. A threat is obvious. You know, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this. And it's usually a threat of injury, bodily harm, being left and abandoned, or some consequence. If you don't comply with what I'm asking you to do or telling you to do, then this is going to happen. If, then, else, or else I'm going to do this. And there's various levels, obviously, you know, threat to your financial security, threat to your personal safety, threat to your confidence level, threat to the loss of something or someone, or just an action that is negative and unwanted. I can't think of a good threat other than, you know, if you turn your paper in on time, I swear to God, I'm going to give you extra credit. That's bizarre because that doesn't even match, you know, reality. Like, if you turn your paper in on time, you're going to get credit for turning your paper in on time. If you do extra credit, I'm going to give you extra credit. Okay, that's like not a threat. A threat is if you don't turn in your paper on time, you will fail the course. And that's not even a threat. That's just a rule. That's a rule we all go by. You know, you have to turn your papers in on time. And if you don't turn your papers in on time, then you're going to be late. And the consequences for being late are X, Y, and Z. And it varies, right, from course to course. A threat in like a relationship is if you don't do this, I'm going to smack you, or I'm going to leave you, or we're breaking up, or I'm not going to be your friend anymore, and I'm not going to call you back. And sometimes it's really violent. Things can get really violent. And so, like, threat con. So threat conditions. I was in a military environment, and someone was sort of verbally abusive and would give non-direct threatening statements like, I know this person and they call her triple threat. We work together and she works for your agency. So kind of unnecessarily and indirectly threatening, it could be perceived that way. Just based upon the name and the sharing of the nickname of that person. Or it could just be perceived as she's just sharing that she has a contact within the company. Which is great, you know. Like, if there weren't other issues, it wouldn't be perceived negatively. But because there were other issues, it was not at the time directly perceived as a threat, but ignored. You know, like, you're nobody to me in terms of workplace competition. You know, stuff like that. But later, like, the derogatory comments continued. And it was never threat-based, right? But yet there's all these little nuances. You know, complaints about her personal life, and then a request to come look at the history on my computer because I have a suspicion of something, that there's some information on there that shouldn't be on there. So they're sort of, it's not a threat, but it's sort of, come look at my information, validate my insecurity, teach me how to do something, and I'm going to show you there's some really dirty stuff on there. And because you're a woman and I'm a woman, there should be no threat of perceived abuse. Like, you can trust that person's not luring you into a dirty environment to exploit you or hurt you, but might be trying to exploit and hurt somebody else. So being in an IT profession, it's sort of like a scary place to be in when someone calls you up and says, hey, I have this issue on my computer and I don't know how to fix it. Come look at my files. Come over to my house and fix this for me. And so you don't really know what you're walking into because it's not like they're honest and outright. You know, I've got some really dirty stuff on my computer. I know it's going to hurt your feelings or it's going to damage your mind a little bit. It's going to definitely damage your perception of that person, possibly. So you have to kind of just respond to the requests and, you know, as you come across the information, just assess it and say, okay, I did what you asked me. Thank you. And case closed. And try to walk away from it without judging that person and saying, you like some really gross stuff, or you're really disorganized, or you're really abusive. And the way that you ask for things and communicate is really abusive. So it's not so much that these people are threatening, but it becomes a threat, right? Because if they keep sucking you into this negative zone, it's like, how do you draw the line and say, I'm not going to listen to you anymore because I understand now that you're threatening my well-being. You're threatening my workplace happiness. You're threatening my daily enjoyment of my job, and you're trying to steer it into a really dirty place, and that's not how I want to run my career. So that person has to, the IT person or the friend or the person that's on the receiving end of all this garbage has to say, no more. I will not respond to you. I will not respond to your requests, and see it as a threat. That you are threatening my happiness if I continue. I'm responsible. I have to be aware of what you're doing. And I have to put a wall up and say, there will be no more support for you. There will be no more support for your negative emotions. There will be no more support for your verbal abuse. There will be no more attempting to understand your mindset. The case is closed. You are finished. And there's no more need to go back and be concerned as to why that person is the way that they are. They just are. They're just abusive. They don't even see it. And for some reason, the environment or the level of experience and relationships sort of affect that perception and sort of give more leeway to what, to being okay and finding that conversation or that task acceptable and willing to help that person. It's either because they, you know, see that that person needs help, or just because they are professionally responsible and required to respond to that person. You know, so that, say, you know, my friend, she's kind of abusive. She has a track record of abusing her boyfriends verbally, husbands, and she is looking for a job. And I, you know, sat next to her for 3 years and I feel comfortable with getting her a job at the corporation that I work with. So I took, you know, I offer her an opportunity, submit her resume. She's very interested. And I put in my recommendation. And a week later, she says, I don't want to work this, and leaves. And so you look at that and you go, you got to get over your emotions, right? Wow, you just kind of hurt my reputation. You're saying that the company I work for is no good. You're sort of exhibiting this unwillingness to learn, unwillingness to devote, and just additional problems. So the comments, as far as I know people there, and you know, mildly threatening somehow, perhaps for the protection of herself to make herself feel better. But the longer I look at it and the longer I talk about it, the more I realize that person is the one that's flawed. And it's easier to just let go and say, you know, your words were harmful. They continued to be harmful. They were harmful first about others. And then they became harmful to me directly. They became harmful towards the company that I work for. So it can easily be concluded that person is harmful and should just be put aside and no more contact. No more contact with that person. So in computers, we have like a threat. We have sort of exploitation and threat-based understandings. Like, how do we know vulnerabilities are being exploited? Well, perfect example, you're an IT person and this person invites you over to their house on the side and says, come look at my computer. Can you show me how to do something? Because I suspect something bad is going on with my other half. And so you already sort of know they're trying to suck you in into their problems. And whether or not it's your duty on the job or just something you want to do for a friend because a friend asks you, you got to understand it from an exploitation and vulnerability standpoint. This person has a problem. It's tech related. They're bringing their personal relationship and life into it. This person has already made abusive comments about that other person. So you sort of get a gauge and understanding what this person is like. But the risk that comes along with an IT person going into somebody's house and touching their computer as a trusted person in the field of technology. And, you know, if you work with that person and they're that spiteful to a loved one, what's to say they're not going to turn in spite on you if you don't do what they ask of you? Or if the outcome is not exactly as they wanted. You know, if they're spiteful to their loved one, they're certainly going to be spiteful to you at some point. Because I don't know. So vulnerability assessments, not just on software and internet security systems, but they're on your person as well. You know, should I open up a tech business where I go to people's homes and troubleshoot their systems? There's vulnerability there. You're walking into somebody's house and you're saying, you know, yeah, I'll do this for you. I'm going to type in my information and I'm going to show you some things. And, you know, if that person, I don't know, you know, it's a trust area that's tough, right? Like if I log in at the same workstation that you're logged into and you're looking up all this garbage and you ask me to come into your home and then suddenly I got to have a background check done on me because, you know, I'm applying for this other contract and that information gets twisted up and that person is called upon for a reference and they decide to turn spiteful on you because maybe they have a hidden agenda or they're just deciding to be spiteful for the day. It ruins your opportunity. But, you know, naturally you go into these projects or these little tasks with a heart and mind of willing to help. I have the understanding of how this system works and you need my help and I'm happy to help you. But in turn, it results in a divorce and it results in hate and it results in you finding out something you might not have wanted to find out. It's like a private investigator, you know? So do I need to get insurance then as a limited liability corporation so that these people can't come back and bite me because I showed them something that they suspected And maybe I should have just told them how to do it themselves and kept hands off, not entered their home. And perhaps, you know, I shouldn't have gave in to the whims of being sort of a trusted advisor and giving help and assistance to someone that was unhappy, because later it came back to bite them in the butt because their second round of relationship dramas resulted in another divorce. You know, so now I can't give relationship advice because it keeps failing, right? So vulnerability assessments is like not just, you know, is this software vulnerable to an attack? Of course. If I get in my car and go to the mall at nighttime by myself, I'm always vulnerable to an attack. Am I going to set that expectation and live my life based in fear because that has happened before? No. No, absolutely not. That's your problem. But I really don't have time to spend, you know, setting up security cameras, walking through a parking garage with my keys in between my knuckles, or getting ready to launch 911 on my phone because I was attacked in a parking lot and I'm vulnerable to stuff like that because I'm short, and I'm a woman, right? So vulnerability testing, like, I need to come up with a standard for this just on every level, you know? Like moving into a new area, relocating. I moved out of state. You know, I'm a little scared. I'm by myself. Is it safe to talk to my neighbors and answer my door at night? Yeah, why wouldn't it be? It's not unsafe till it's unsafe. So you can't base your life, current life and future life, on the past. That just because something bad happened in the past and someone threatened your safety or someone stalked you online, or someone abused you and exploited you and used you for the wrong reasons, doesn't mean that people are going to continuously do that to you. And you shouldn't live your life thinking that. But when you get into cycles of depression, fear sets in, resentment sets in, and you start to like look at that, how many times has that happened to you? And if it's too many times to count, then something's not right. So that's when I sit back as a professional and as a woman and I go, it looks like I need to limit contact. Not isolate myself, but limit contact. Just to understand sort of what's going on here. Is this like a professional competition? Is it because I exude too much self-confidence, or am I just being misused for the wrong reasons? You know, because that's not what the purpose, that's not the purpose of my life, to be misused and abused, right? So, you know, while the memory replays these events and as they culminate and you start to add them up, it starts to feel like you're just meant to live in this world to be abused and re-abused. When really that's not how you run your life, you know? And that's the reason those people are cut off and are no longer part of your life. So, but threats and issues keep coming up, but they manifest in different ways. So threat management is something that we learn in computers and software and exploitation, but we don't really talk much about it in human contexts, human relationships. Now, if you say something that's out of context in this discussion forum, according to my professor, you will be expelled. And it's not because is because you're not free to talk about what you want to talk about or to express emotion, and other students are not free to learn how to solve problems on their own. So there's a bigger issue here. So anyways, thank you. That's all.